through a day or navigate through a week or navigate through a month, maybe whatever, maybe even part of my life, all of a sudden I'll hear something and it kind of sticks. It kind of sticks in me, and then I get to pondering that thought or that phrase or that statement or that word, and I wonder what it means and where it come from and why do we use that word and why do we use that phrase in the way that we use that phrase. And it's sometimes it's just we assume that we have meanings of phrases, and sometimes we're absolutely right. Well, the phrase that come into my heart and my mind, my ears, just recently was this phrase, it's more than I bargained for. And it just kind of got under my skin for a while, and I was just saying, what does that mean? What does it mean to get more than I bargained for? And so I searched, as any red-blooded American may do, search Google for some more information and maybe even some more history on that phrase, it started to unpack more for me. And it gave me examples. Use this phrase in a sentence. And I love that dictionary because now I can see how it's used in conversation. So here's some of the sentences that the first definition was this: more than one expected to encounter, experience, or deal with. Now the phrases, now the sentences that it shared with me to try to get me to understand that at a greater length. Here they are. Push the button. When Betsy brought home a sweet little puppy for a companion, she got more than she bargained for. See, we have an idea what that phrase means. And then and the next sentence was, I got more than I bargained for when I took this job. And then the next sentence was, this project is more than I'd bargained for. And I started to get a sense here that more than I bargained for was not a real positive phrase. And so the definition number two says this, and it says, an unexpected outcome, especially an unfavorable one. Then all of a sudden, I started to realize I have a lot of stories in my life that I got more than I bargained for. I could share a story when I'm driving a bull down through the field and down and back into the pasture where you're supposed to be until we got in the middle of the field and he thought that there was nothing for me to protect myself and it was just him and I in the middle of a 10-acre field. And all of a sudden, he turned around and I realized at that moment, I got more than I bargained for. More than I bargained for is not a positive state. I looked for a sentence, and they bought an old broken down house and found $50,000 in the basement. They got more than they bargained for. It doesn't seem to fit when it's always this negative. I got more than I bargained for. I didn't realize I was getting in as deep as I was. I didn't realize that it was going to cost me as much as it was going to cost me. I didn't realize it was going to take me where it was going to take me. I didn't realize it was going to be as dangerous as it is dangerous. More than I bargained for. And so I wonder if I or we have I got more than I bargained for it attitude in my faith journey, in my faith walk. I wonder if I or we or as you have got a I got more than I bargained for it attitude in our faith walk. I got more than I bargained for. And using it in a very negative sense, I got more than I bargained for. I didn't know. I didn't know what it was going to include. I didn't know that it was going to include sacrifice. I didn't know that it was going to be a life-altering commitment. I didn't know this faith journey was going to take sacrifice. I didn't know this faith journey was going to take life-altering commitment. I got more than I bargained for. I want a Savior, but I didn't know that comes along with the Lord. Now I want to be saved. I want a Savior, but I didn't realize that my faith journey, when I signed up for it, when I got in the middle of the field for this faith journey, I didn't know it come with the Lord. I only wanted a Savior. I wanted freedom. But a call on my life, push the button, please. I want freedom, but a call on my life, that's more than I bargained for. I want power, but orders, commands, precepts, decrees. Whose idea was that? I want a Savior. I want freedom. I want power. But Lord, call orders I'm not too sure about. I think I might have got more than I bargained for. I want to know that I'm going to go to heaven someday, but I want to do what I want to do now. True. But I got that attitude sometime in my faith. When my life ceases on this earth, I want my Savior to show up, but I don't know if I want my Lord to show up day in and day out. I want my Savior to show up when I'm in trouble. I want my Savior to show up when I got a flat tire of life. I want my Savior to show up when I breathe my last breath on this earth. I want my Savior to show up, but I'm not too sure I want my Lord to show up 24/7. And I want to stand in freedom in Christ. I want to sing about it. But a call on my life, I'm not too sure about. I want to go to heaven, but I don't know if I want a Lord. This is more than I bargained for. So what do we do? I told Cheryl this week, I said, I think I'm going to be stepping on my own toes this week. So I was going to bring this giant mirror just so I could preach this message just to me. So what do we do? What do we do when we finally realize that I got more than I bargained for? Well, I got some ways that we can just deal with it. Just sit down and walk away. Wait for death and your Savior to show up, but continue to reject your Lord. For crying out loud, you're going to have to reject Jesus as Lord. Or you're going to get more than you bargained for. We're going to have to put out the Spirit's fire, which the Scriptures plead with us. God pleads with us, don't put out the Spirit's fire, but you're going to have to, or you're going to get more than you bargained for. And so am I. We can convince ourselves that we are good. I'm good. And you can lie to yourself long enough that I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. And pretty soon you'll begin to believe it. And you can compare yourself to others to see if you are doing better than they are. As long as I'm doing better than you, I'm good. For crying out loud, he certainly doesn't want the Lord to show up in his life. At least I don't mind once a week. Or maybe you can embrace the phrase, I'm only human mentality. I'm dead serious. We're going to have to do something or we're going to get more than we bargained for. Or what do we do? Or what do we do? Colossians 4, Archippus is a guy in Colossians 4, and we've been going through some Colossians 4, some of the characters that do not have the flannel graph character. Tychicus, remember him? Tychicus was sent with a message to encourage the church at Colossae. His goal was to bring the encouraging message to them. So he was sent with this encouraging message. Epaphras, just a few weeks ago, remember what he did? He wrestled in prayer for the church. He was on his knees. He was wrestling for prayer, in prayer, that they would walk in the will of God, that God would show up in their life, and they would find themselves maturing and steadfast in the will of God. Day in and day out, enough that Paul knew that he was wrestling for the church. And Archippus is another one of those guys at the very end. He just start mentioning these guys at the very end. And Archippus gets called out. He gets called out at the end of this letter. And how would you like to be Archippus? Push the button. How would you like to be Archippus like in this way? Push the button, please. Tell Archippus. How would you like to be Archippus sitting in the back of the room when they're reading this letter? Archippus, this part's for you. Do you want to stand up while I read you this? Not really. See to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. And as we begin to unpack that statement that Archippus was receiving, see to it, take heed, someone. The language seems to say this. It indicates that there was a glitch in Archippus' life. The language in the Greek says, Archippus, you've set down the sword. Archippus, you've stalled. Archippus, maybe it's more than you bargained for. Archippus, pick it up. Pick up the mantle. Archippus, you got a call on your life. Archippus, you got a savior, yes, but you got a call on your life. Archippus, stand up. Archippus, do it. Archippus, stand up. Let's go. What is going on that you have stalled, Archippus? Maybe it's you got more than you bargained for. I realize that. Maybe you wanted a savior, Archippus. And maybe you started out and it was easy. But now it's getting hard. It's getting trying. I don't know if I can do it. Archippus, you got to work. Stand up. See to it. In Philemon, in 1:2, Archippus says, our fellow soldier. Well, these two letters are written probably within a year of each other. What happened? What happened to Archippus? He was described as a fellow soldier too. Archippus, wake up! Archippus, you got a job. From Philemon, Archippus, a fellow soldier, going to war, doing battle, moving forward in God's kingdom. To Archippus, what stalled you? Where are you at, man? What's happening that you stalled? You've got to work. You've got a call on your life, Archippus. Why have you set it down? Wake up. Is God saying to Archippus, I have saved you, Archippus. I have redeemed you. I have called you. I have assigned you. I have equipped you. I have empowered you. I have given you provision and power and authority, but I also have given you a call, a mission, and a world to change, Archippus. What are you doing, he says. Verse 17 again says, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete. It's you, Archippus. See to it that you complete. Archippus, I'm calling you out. Ed, I'm calling you out. Bill, I'm calling you out. Sherry, I'm calling you out. Tobin, I'm calling you out. I know that it might be more than you bargained for. I know you didn't have all the details when that moment you allowed me to come into your life and be the savior of your life. But if I can save your life, don't you think I can lead your life? It might be more than you bargained for. You might get into situations that take complete surrender. Might be into situations that take hard movement forward. But you got to trust me. I got a call on your life, and I got a world that I want you to change, Archippus. Dave, Joe. I have redeemed you. I saved you. I called you. I assigned you. I equipped you. I empowered you. I have given you provision. I have given you power. I have given you authority. I have given you a call. I have given you a mission. New life, wake up. We got a world to change.
Amen.
And I believe God is calling me at least. Ed, wake up. I'll guarantee it's more than you bargained for. That's what he's telling me. This life. I know that it is. Just trying to continue to tell yourself you're okay. try to continue to tell yourself you don't need really this and God is leading in your life. Just work at it. Just keep working at it. Complete. Verse 17 says, see to it that you complete. That you make full is the word complete. See to it you. And I love it when he says, just in general, all of you. No, he goes, no, Sherry, it's your job. No, Jim. And he may speak to every one of us, but he's calling us by name. It's time. It's time to live. To complete, to make full. It's time to get your boots on. These are the things my dad used to say. Put your boots on. Get your boots on. Load the truck. Get the lead out. It's time to make hay. Time to roll. Let's get it done. Whatever word you want to use in redneck country, that's what it means. Archippus. Load the truck. We're going to market. We got a world to change. See to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord. The work you have received in the Lord. Look at what he tells the Galatians in the message paraphrase. You crazy Galatians! Did someone put a hex on you? Have you taken leave of your senses? Something crazy has happened, for it's obvious that you no longer have the crucified Christ in focus. That's not a positive thing. It's obvious in your life. You no longer are looking at the crucified Christ. Amen. Because you're sitting down in a world that needs to be changed. Obviously, Church of Galatia, you've let down the vision of the crucified Christ. Have you lost your senses? Has someone put a hex on you? Archibus, stand up! What happens when the crucified Christ is in clear focus? What is the light that we are to let shine before men? What is the good work? What is the work that God wants him to finish? What is the work that he has put on his life? What is the work that he is sitting down on because maybe it was more than he bargained for? What is the work? And so I pondered that thought and I searched God. What is the work? And so I ended up in the work. What is the work of Jesus? In Luke 4 and 18 and 19 says this, the Spirit of the Lord, this is Jesus talking, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight of the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's what his mission was and is. And when Jesus left this earth, he handed it to you and me. He called it making disciples, but he left that mission to you and to me. Complete that work. Archibus! Do you know how many times I had to say that name out loud just so I could pronounce it right? Archibus! You've let down the sword! For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And Corinthians tells us this, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He gave it to you and to me. that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And that's not only salvation, that's sanctification as well. And he's given it to you and to me. Archivist! Wake up! Just so you know, when someone dies at the end of my street, at the end of a bullet, I take that very personally. That the church needs to rise up. I get stuck in stuff. And we get a message. And we're so wound up in our own self-centered garbage that we can't even see a world that needs an archivist. I'd be looking into the mirror when I said that. Jesus did not leave heaven to be born of a virgin, to walk in the flesh, to endure the cross, to face separation from the Father, to die, to be placed in a tomb, to be raised from the dead, to break the curse of sin, and to bring light into the darkness so that you and I could live an easy life. He did not do that so I could have a big bank account, a cool car, and a white picket fence house, and whatever else this world has convinced me is important. Or so that I may coast and someday get into heaven. Amen. He did that because the world needs Jesus. Amen. Archibus! Wake up! Your world needs Jesus. The world needs Jesus. The work is Jesus. The work is Jesus. What is the work that God wants us to complete? Jesus is the work. The work is Jesus. Why? Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The work is Jesus. Amen. Archibus, wake up! You've let down your passion for Jesus. You've let down your witness for Jesus. You got stuck. You got stalled. You got wound up in your own cares. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm feeling such conviction right now, I want to leave. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. The name is Jesus. You know what the work of the church is? To promote faith in Jesus, to promote Jesus, to exalt Jesus, to lift Jesus' name on high. What is the work he wants you and I to complete? He wants you to promote Jesus in your own life. Number one, I'm just going to give you four all on one slide. Here we go. What's he want you to do? What's the work he wants you to complete? Promote Jesus in me. Say it. Promote Jesus in. Promote Jesus in. He wants you to promote Jesus in you, in me, in yourself. He wants you to promote Jesus. He wants you to be a part of the word, part of the worship. He wants you to be part of what grows the faith in Jesus in you. He wants to promote Jesus. What is your work? What is the work that you've sat down on? Promoting the faith in Jesus in yourself. Because it's more than I bargained for. Do you know how long it takes to figure out what a passage of Scripture means? Yes. 43 verses, I recorded it, 283 hours in 43 verses. I spent 283 hours understanding 43 verses. Whatever promotes Jesus in our lives, we need to do. We need to be worshipers. We need to be men and women of the word. We need to be men and women of praise. We need to be men and women of prayer. We need to be men and women of meditation. Or sit down in the back and be archivist from fellow soldier to what in the world has got in the way in your life. That you no longer are giving Jesus to a world who so desperately needs him. I understand that the world does not need another Savior, and I'm not interested in taking the position of the Savior, but I'm interested in taking the proclamation of the Savior. The work is to promote faith in Jesus in me. The work is to promote faith in Jesus in the family, in your family. How are you doing on that? How are we doing on that? He said, I've given you a family to be a part of. Are you promoting faith in Jesus in your family? How does that happen? That happens by loving them and not being okay with them not walking with Jesus. But I understand you're not going to carry around a big stick and try to beat your sons and your daughters and your grandchildren and your husband or your wife into submission so they'll walk with Jesus. But he said, I've given you a work to promote Jesus in your family. Do you understand what Jesus can do inside of your family? You do hard work to promote something else in your family. Just to get somebody together for a family gathering can be a laborious task. And we'll work hard at it, and we'll plan a menu, and we'll cook food, and we'll show up, and then we'll argue with Aunt so-and-so, and then we'll go away, and we'll drive away from that whole family and gossip about our family all the way home. But what are we doing? What are we doing to promote Jesus in our family? Archippus. And just let me be real clear. Let me just come down here and sit while I say this part. Archippus was not a clergy. He was a guy in the pews. So if you think Paul's yelling at a pastor, he's not. He's yelling at a man of God. What are you doing to promote Jesus in yourself? What are you doing to promote Jesus in your family? What are you doing to promote Jesus in the church? And we do that by praying for one another, and by fellowship, and by gathering together, and by not allowing others to battle alone, perhaps. By hearing the testimonies of how God showed up in my life. Even at 89 years old, he was caring about whether I was living or dying. And he said, you better get busy living. And to promote Jesus in a world that so desperately needs him. Sometimes I gotta admit there's not a whole lot of difference between me and the world. You want a good check of yourself? Look at your last 5 Facebook posts. I'm sweating up a storm today. What have we done to promote Jesus in our community? What have we done to promote Jesus in this world that so desperately needs him? Do we really believe this New Lifers, I got to ask us? And listen, I argued with God. I said that I'd really like to preach that in September when more people are back from vacation. I said, fourth. I said, do you realize there's going to be families gone? No, I didn't realize that. Let's talk about it. You know, it's like knock, 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 anybody home? I'm the sovereign God. What are we doing? What are we doing? Church, our work is to promote the faith in Jesus. Is my activity promoting faith in Jesus? In me, in my family, in the body, and in this world? Or am I such a camouflaged Christian that the world can't even tell? That I meet no opposition in this world at all? I did get a call from someone in the community. Said, we have someone we know. He's down to this location. He's been there. We think he's having something wrong right now. He's in a public place, and we don't know what he's going to do. Would you go and see if you can intercept him? And would you go and see if you could intercede? Would you go and see if you could talk with him? And I jumped in my truck and I drove to this place. There's this guy, he's definitely having some situation. And I simply walked up to him and I said, so-and-so has sent me to see if I can do some help. And he said, would you please sit down? And as he leaned forward, a cross necklace come out of his shirt. And I heard God say, right away, give him Jesus. All the medical help you can get him and all the psychiatric help you can get him and all the things you can do for him is a millisecond compared to what Jesus can do for him. Would you give him Jesus? So a 15 or 20 minute conversation, someone showed up to give him a ride to a safe place with a phone number in hand saying, please call me. Hasn't happened yet. But there was no doubt that God was saying to me when that cross come off and under his shirt, give him Jesus. This world needs Jesus. Your family needs Jesus. This church needs Jesus. I need Jesus. Archibus! This world needs Jesus. Preach it, Miss Binky. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There is just something about that name. Master. Savior, Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kings.
thank you for giving us such a name as Jesus. God, thank you and forgive me for getting caught up in the ways of this world and the ways of my flesh. Forgive me, God. I repent. I turn around. I want to pick up the work. I want to pick up the work of Jesus in my life. I want to pick up the work of Jesus in my family. I want to pick up the work of Jesus, exalting Jesus in this church. And I want to break up the work of Jesus for our community. So, Father, I read that verse. Tell Ed, see to it that you complete the work that you have received in the Lord. God, thank you. God, thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for giving us such a message. And I truly pray that we would throw off what hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And we would know what it looks like to have our eyes fixed on the crucified Christ. That we would not be hexed or bewitched. That we would not have taken leave of our senses. But we would let our light shine before men. Jesus, shine before men. And we would know that you have saved us. You have equipped us. You have empowered us. You have called us. You have given us a mission and a world to change. Father, help us not to let that mission down. That you have to say again, Ed, see to it that you've complete the work the Lord has given you. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day.